From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. And Annette, as you can see here today, I'm abandoning my normal host chair.
He's not even sitting there.
I'm not even sitting there. I'm moving over to the guest chair so that I can talk to you about one of the most interesting and complicated issues I have ever reported on.
How are you today? Hey, I'm so honored to be here with
this is Republican Pennsylvania House Speaker Mike Terzai speaking last year at a press conference in Harrisburg.
Because we want to do something that matters to us from the bottom of our hearts.
He's standing at this podium flanked by other lawmakers and by people who have Down syndrome.
If each of you could just, because this team, we're all here for you because we love you all. You got to shout out your name to us, okay? Shout out your name. Tell me your first name, young man. Yep, you're number one. Michael, who's next?
And one of them, Karen Gaffney, actually spoke at this press conference.
You see, if you put your head up and look around, you will see and hear and read about phenomenal accomplishments of those of us living with Down syndrome all around the world.
What was this all about?
Terzai was introducing a bill that would ban abortions of pregnancies based on a diagnosis of Down syndrome.
Every human life is worth living and has dignity. Every human life.
So what happened to the bill?
It passed the House, but it failed in the Senate. But I should say that even if it had made it out of the Senate, Governor Tom Wolf, a Democrat, said that he was going to veto it. But this year,
we would not allow a person that performs abortions, the doctor, from doing it on the basis of a Down syndrome diagnosis.
Terzai is introducing the bill again.
So why is Terzai introducing a bill he knows is likely to fail? And how does it fall into the broader abortion debate?
Today on The Why, where does choice end?
So, Shai, why is Down syndrome at the center of this fight?
This is a really complicated question. If you talk to Mike Terzai, he calls what's happening here eugenics. So, in fact, he recently spoke to an anti-abortion group, and he compared those who oppose this legislation to Nazis. And there was a video of that incident that surfaced recently.
Oof.
You know, to go with their sense of eugenics, like the Nazi regime, right?
The place people like Terzai introducing this kind of legislation always bring up is Iceland.
Thank you for coming to Iceland.
Takk fyrir að koma til Íslands.
Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland. It's that little place like off the mainland of Europe.
Right.
That you can get like a cheap flight to.
Everybody's going to Iceland.
So Iceland has basically a 100% abortion rate for fetuses diagnosed with Down syndrome. They're pretty much all aborted. There are one or two born each year that have Down syndrome. There are other European countries that have rates that are nearly that high. Denmark, it's 98%. France is a little lower at 77%.
What about here in the United States?
It's 67%.
Wow, that's high.
Pregnancies with Down syndrome are aborted in the U.S. And, you know, it's not surprising that conservatives would be against abortion of any kind. But I think these numbers are just pretty shocking for everyone. But really what surprised me the most in doing this reporting when the bill was introduced the first time was just the range of opinions I got from families who got this diagnosis. And that's when I kind of realized how complicated this issue really was.
So now I'm curious, what did they have to say?
Well, the first family I want to tell you about is the Edis family. Lynn and Kevin Edis, they found out they were pregnant, and
we had our blood test actually a little later, probably around 13, 14 weeks, maybe even 15 weeks, and it came back as
At 17 weeks, Lynn got a call from her genetic counselor.
And she said, I just wanted to talk to you. We got the results back from your blood test, and she's like, it came back positive for Down syndrome, trisomy 21.
And at the time, she and Kevin worked together, and
I remember I had a post-it note in front of me, and I just wrote, like, T21, And then, like, I was so shocked. And before I got off the phone, I remember being like, well, do you know, can you just tell me what the sex of the baby? And I left the office and I went over to Kevin's desk and I was crying at that point.
So in Pennsylvania, you have until 24 weeks to get an abortion. So this was a choice that Lynn and Kevin would have to make really soon.
And there was a lot of crying, a lot of crying.
And they wrestled with it for a while. And ultimately, they decided they wanted to move forward with the pregnancy. And now they have a little girl named Hazel. When I talked to them, it was last year. She was about 1.5.
She may not walk, but she can get around. Right, Hazel?
I can see that.
You crawl. You roll.
She wasn't walking or talking yet, but she was doing a lot of babbling and rolling, and she's an adorable young child. She does have Down syndrome, and she is doing incredibly well.
So, Shai, now that Lynn and Kevin are past the point of making this decision for themselves, what do they think of the bill?
Well, first off, let me just say, as a general political stance, Lynn and Kevin support abortion rights. So that's where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. But that said, this was a tough issue for them. And I think for Lynn in particular, the idea that so many pregnancies like hers are ended is deeply troubling. But ultimately, Lynn and Kevin don't support this legislation because they see it as chipping away at abortion rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a child with Down syndrome. We made the right choice for us. I don't think that it's the government's right to tell somebody that they have to have a child because they have a certain diagnosis.
So what about the people who support the law? What do they say?
Well, I talked with Jeremy Samick, and he actually plays a couple of different roles in this story. First of all, he is a lawyer for the Pennsylvania Family Institute. It's an anti-abortion advocacy organization. He supports the bill. But he also has a daughter who has Down syndrome.
For our daughter, we adopted her. We were able to bring her home when she was just about 2 years old.
He just sees this as the morally right position to take.
When we look at the word eugenics itself, this fits squarely within that box. It's an effort to look at society and say, this is what we think the standard of perfection is when it comes to human beings. And that's what we're seeking to obtain. Whenever we're looking for these markers in order to eliminate any child before they can be born. And you know, those kind of things ought not happen.
So, Shai, we still have Roe versus Wade in this country, which means women have a constitutional right to have an abortion. So how can laws like this be constitutional?
So this is where things get really interesting. Yes, Roe is still the law of the land. But actually, there's another Supreme Court decision that applies here. It's called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. It actually is a case that stems from Pennsylvania. And that decision by the Supreme Court in the 90s says, yes, you have a constitutional right to an abortion, but a state has the right to regulate abortions and providers. And I talked with Rachel Ribeche,
professor of law at Temple University School of Law.
She focuses on this area of law, of abortion law. And she says because of the Casey decision, there are all these regulations placed on doctors and abortion providers.
Requiring doctors to have admitting privileges, requiring ambulatory surgical center capabilities for providers where there's no health reason for those requirements.
But those restrictions aren't the same as outlawing certain abortions, right?
Right. But actually, it turns out Pennsylvania has a law already that outlaws certain abortions. It's one of 8 states with a sex-selective abortion ban. And what that means is that if your doctor tells you, hey, you're having a girl, and you say, oh, I wanted a boy, I'm going to have an abortion, you can't do that in Pennsylvania. It's against the law.
But you can give any reason for having an abortion, so how would they know?
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, Rachel Ribeche says that for that reason, this law would seem really difficult to enforce. You don't have to give a reason at all for having an abortion.
Absent hooking someone up to a lie detector test and then informing all providers across the country that someone's been flagged for the abortion for an inappropriate reason, even that wouldn't work because you could just go to a state that doesn't prohibit sex selective or other abortion on other grounds.
So it sounds like this whole debate is over whether the government should allow parents to choose which children to have, because that's essentially what would happen here, right?
Exactly. And that's why this is such a tough issue, because we see what happens when parents get to choose.
So, Shai, you said earlier that Mike Turzai is reintroducing this bill. You also said that Governor Wolf is going to veto it and that it's basically unenforceable. So why is he doing this?
Well, when you ask him, what he says is simply that he's concerned about the high rates of abortions. I think it's safe to say, though, that he wants to keep this issue in the public eye. And the other, you know, the larger context in which this is happening is that clearly anti-abortion lawmakers are using this legislation and similar legislation as a means of attempting to cut back the overall number of abortions. And we don't have to look far for evidence of that. There's a group called Americans United for the Defense of Life. They're an anti-abortion group.
They have a legislative guide that they publish every year and has different chapters on different types of abortion restriction.
That criminalizes abortion of fetuses with Down syndrome, criminalizes sex selective abortion, has a whole bunch of other model legislation restricting certain kinds of abortions. And what they're saying here is, here are some laws you can implement in your state that chip away at abortion rights.
That, lo and behold, just appear verbatim almost in the state legislative proposals for that session.
And it seems like Down syndrome has just sort of landed in the middle of this debate, right?
Exactly. And before we wrap up, I want to bring one more parent into the mix here.
Mordechai Liebling.
Rabbi Mordechai Liebling has an adult son with Down syndrome. His name is Lior.
I love that name.
It's a beautiful name. He's been living on his own in supportive housing, working. He's doing really well. And Mordechai opposes this law. And he is really angry that his son is, in his words, being used.
I think it's reprehensible that they are using children with Down syndrome, you know, as a wedge in this issue.
So what he's done is he has pushed for legislation that would simply mandate better and more comprehensive genetic counseling.
Far fewer people would abort their fetus with Down syndrome if they knew the truth of what it meant to have a child with Down syndrome. The issue is education around genetics, not abortion.
Thanks, Shai.
Anytime.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen.
Tweet us at Shai Ben-Yaakov and at Annette J.H.
We'll see you Monday.